Hello, welcome to the Fangamer Podcast. This is episode 155, Thrifting for Games. I am Jeff, your host, and I'm joined by Charlie, Heidi, and Ben. This episode's going to be pretty packed with fun stuff. We went thrifting for games in this episode, literally going around with a recorder. We'll hear some of that. Up first is a segment about a tragedy I experienced on Craigslist.org. After that, we're going to have Derek Alexander, also known as the Happy Video Game Nerd. He did an interview with Benjamin, and they talked about thrifting for games as well. But at first, I guess let's hear about my horrifying story. When I was 16, I wanted to become a game collector. My hope was to collect games from places like Craigslist, yard sales, and the flea market, and I would take these games and sell them for a profit. Of course, the hardest part of being a game collector is finding games that are rare and at a reasonable price to where you can actually sell them and create a viable business model off of it. So I would browse Craigslist, and amongst all the professional hack ads that were for Xboxes and Wiis and all the different consoles at the time, I would occasionally find some goober that was offering some rare video games, usually Super Nintendo cartridges, but at eBay prices. So Earthbound was $100, Chrono Trigger was $75, Secret of Mana was $40, Super Mario RPG $45. Craigslist was full of competitors like this, and as such, it was difficult for me to find a good deal that I could, again, turn a profit off of. So I decided that I would place an ad simply titled, "Sell Me Your Old Super Nintendo Games," and I waited. A day or two passed, and then a man contacted me. In his email, he said that he was retired, and his job used to be that he would clean out Kmarts in the 90s, literally throwing away inventory that wasn't worth transferring to another store. This basically meant it was open season for most or any of their stock once the Kmart had gone out of business. So he had raided their electronics department for his son. I guess his hope was that his son would eventually get into video games enough to the point where he could have virtually any game that he wanted. Now that his son was at college, though, he just wanted the stuff out of his garage, literally overnight. He had apparently collected a garage full of factory-sealed games, and he sent me a spreadsheet of the entire list that he had, games, consoles, and accessories, with their respective quantities. On the spreadsheet, there was, you know, the average 200 Mario Duck Hunt combo cartridges and other dime a dozen titles. But what caught my eye, of course, was that there were 45 copies of Earthbound, 32 copies of Chrono Trigger, 82 Secret of Mana, 54 Super Mario RPG. He also had the demo floor models of every system from the 90s, including an arcade cabinet and a bunch of Rob the Robots. Needless to say, I'd hit the jackpot here. But I was broke, and I didn't have the money to even pay for a lowballer's price. This guy's entire collection would garner somewhere close to $200,000 if sold appropriately. I emailed this guy back and told him that I was only interested in some of the titles, more specifically the expensive ones, mostly because there were so many of them and in such large quantities, I didn't have a place to store them. But I told him I was interested in these titles and I wanted to come by and check it out. He immediately replied, "It's all or nothing. I need the space. Everything is there. What's your offer?" In less than an hour, I had contacted three of my friends and talked to my dad about investing in this treasure trove of games, and we scraped together about $2,000, which in hindsight was probably a rather insulting offer, but that's what I had. And so I emailed the guy back, and I told him $2,000, and then I waited to hear back from him. An hour passed, and then 2 hours passed. I heard nothing. And I got worried because up until this point, this guy had been emailing me pretty much immediately after my responses. But finally, he did respond, and he simply said in one line of text, "Sorry, already sold it to a guy this afternoon for $1,000. At the time, I was legitimately devastated. The best offer I had ever gotten had simply passed me by because one guy made a very, very small offer before I did. And at the time, I was a dumb kid, so I emailed the guy back and pretty much just insulted him, telling him that he shouldn't go around on Craigslist making offers to multiple people and using it as his own little auction site, and that I could have given him so much more money had he just waited and replied to my email, and just really making the situation worse. And he eventually gets back to me and says, "Listen, punk, I know I could have gotten more for it. I could have probably bought a house in Can-Do. It's all gone now and out of my hair, so stop emailing me." Sometimes, I wonder if this guy was who he says he was. But, you know, his spreadsheet looked pretty legitimate and his story seemed plausible. I mean, and in the end, I'll never really know. I don't really go on Craigslist anymore because it's actually full of unreliable people. And this is just one of many stories of Craigslist not meeting expectations. I'd just go to a thrift store instead.
So, all right, we just finished our second thrift store venture in order to find...
It's starting way up here, I think.
Yeah?
I think that place was pretty dang cool.
Yeah, it's, for being a strange back door down an alley...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Didn't have much in the way of video games. There was one regular Nintendo controller.
For $3.
$3, which is pretty good if you're looking for one of those, but I think we're pretty set on those.
But they had a lot of records and they had vlogs all over the walls. It was a cool $30 black light poster that I really wanted to buy, but I don't got the money. But that's all besides the point. We're looking for video games.
I guess the question wouldn't be what do we hope to find by this, because that's the kind of the point of thrifting, is that you go in without expectations and you might end up surprised, pleasantly surprised.
My mother had an attitude towards thrifting, which was, wish for things and you'll find something better. But don't go looking for it, because you'll be disappointed. And that tended to work very well for her. She would wish for things and then go to a Goodwill, and oddly enough, they would have exactly what she was looking for. But maybe that also has to do with the broad range of things she would wish for. In terms of video games, that definitely makes it a much lower probability.
The first place we went to did have video games, but the selection was junk.
Maddening.
That was a bad joke.
You guys laughed, and I didn't.
Stop trying to take a right here, because it's just not working out.
Maybe eventually. PC.
Well, guys, that was my... story about thrifting. I'd say that's my biggest story about thrifting for games.
It's a pretty good one.
Thank you. It's very sad.
It's a tragic tale.
Thinking about it all the time.
That was also followed up by a bit of our own thrifting experience.
Yes. Now, thrifting, for me, doesn't, of course, just mean thrift shops. It can mean yard sales, garage sales, and I guess Craigslist. For some people, it works, and for me, it has occasionally, but that was an experience where it didn't. What is thrifting for you guys?
About the same. When I go to yard sales, especially, I'm not looking for games. I'm looking for video game merchandise. Like one time, I found a Pikachu cake pan. That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
What?
Yep, $5.
Yo, why haven't you ever made me a Pikachu cake?
Because I sold it.
What? You don't do that.
It was very large, and I had to move from Florida to Arizona. You know, I had to get rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and one of those things is not a Pikachu cake pan.
Well, if I ever find another one, I'll bake you a Pikachu cake.
What thrifting means to me is not selling a Pikachu cake pan when you get it.
Well, that's kind of a good point, Ben. Thrifting doesn't necessarily mean collecting games to sell them.
Right, it's not
yeah.
What do you call it? Flipping them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just enough to go on a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Charlie, what is it for you?
Well, I've never really been a big thrifter in the first place. Most of my games that I got were either gifts or things that I saved up for and bought new, like a chump, or that I bought while I was working at GameStop, like a chump. Other than that, I mean, I think there's only one time I ever actually got something that could be considered thrifting, and that was really not thrifting so much as really lucking out.
I think you told me about this.
Yeah, so there was this comic shop in the town that I grew up in. It wasn't a very good comic shop. I was only there once, but everybody said it was wonderful. It had been open for months, maybe even a year, before I finally actually stopped in there. I looked around, and it was a place called Eclipse Cards and Comics. And I looked around, and I saw boxes with comics in them all along the walls, just sitting on tables, not organized in any way or displayed. But they did have a small selection of video games, and I happened to be looking for Vagrant Story for the PlayStation 1.
Is that a story about vagrancy?
I don't know. I think this one might actually make sense. I assume it's a story about a vagrant. So in that sense, it kind of...
Sure.
Yeah, it might work, but I don't know. I haven't actually played through it yet.
But you were searching for it.
I was searching for it, and I looked around at their PlayStation 1 game selection, and I saw the V, and I thought, oh man, I got it. So I pointed it out to the person behind the counter, and he came over and got it out and brought it on top of the counter and just kind of stared at it for a moment and said, I don't really know how much this is. And so I was like, oh, okay. He says, hold on, let me call my boss. And he tried to call his boss, and he couldn't get in touch with him. Then he just kind of clicked around on the computer for a little bit and then just kind of shrugged and said, how about $30? I was like... Yeah, all right. So I paid $30.
You didn't fight him?
I mean, I didn't know how valuable or not the game was. So I didn't really have any basis to fight. And I've seen PlayStation 1 games go for considerably more. So I thought, you know, good enough. Whatever.
Charlie, when you see that somebody in a thrift store situation
this
like
isn't
this,
a thrift store situation, though, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it is.
No, it totally is. Right. Because like, if you see somebody who doesn't know what the price for something is... You leap on them. You pounce. That's when you go. It's like, I'll give you $5 for it. And then it'll be like, maybe that's too little. And then you're like, okay, maybe 10. And like then like you gotta haggle, Charlie. Then you can be like, maybe I don't want it after all. Then you'll be like,
And then
I'll give you a deal.
You walk.
You let them sit on it for a bit and then call their boss so they'll find out exactly how much it was supposed to be worth in the first place. No.
Tell you what.
And then you burn it down.
No, I bought it and I got into the car and then I looked at it and I realized that I had not bought Vagrant Story. I have, in fact, bought Valkyrie Profile. I just saw the V and the A and just kind of. I guess I got a little confused. Then I looked at it and was like, oh, this is not what I was hoping for. And then I looked at it again.
Not as if that's a bad option.
Huh?
Not as if that's a bad option.
No, that's the thing, though. I looked at it again. I was like, holy crap, wait a second. This is even better. This is Valkyrie Profile. This goes for like $150 on eBay. And I could have turned that and got over $100 in profit. Or flipped it, I suppose. And but I didn't, because I actually wanted that game.
Is it the one that still sits on your shelf?
It actually is still there. I have it. It's got the case, it's got all of the packaging, it's got both discs in good condition, and the manual, and that was definitely like a $150 venture at the time. It's not quite that anymore, because they had the remake come out on PSP, and that brought down the value to about between $75 and $125.
Thanks, Obama.
Heidi and Ben, have you guys gotten considerably good deals from thrifting?
I personally never have. I told Derek that I found a copy of Earthbound for like $50, and he said that was pretty good.
But you were really just making up a story in order to look cool in front of Derek.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
I don't know if I would consider this thrifting, but when I used to work at Toys R Us, I would like hover around the video game department. There was sales, which was like the whole floor. but I was like, I'm gonna work in the video games, and I would keep an eye on what was going on clearance, and I found a copy of Rez for the PS2 for like $387 at a time when it was selling on eBay for $75, and I was like, I'm gonna buy this and I'm gonna sell it, and I never did. But I had it packaged forever, mint, and a few years later when I did start selling on eBay, I got $40 for it.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I guess one I do have is that one day I went into a Cash Converters. I'm not sure exactly what I was looking for. And don't ever go to Cash Converters because
Cash
Converters? Don't ever go into a Baskin Robbins looking for video games, you guys. It's not a good plan. But I found a copy of Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego in the box with the encyclopedia.
Wow. Nice.
For $5.
Yeah.
And then I sold it. I forgot how much.
Was it for at least $5?
I hope. I don't remember. That was a bad story. I'm gonna cut that out.
Then when you interviewed Derek, did he say that he ever tried to sell games and turn a profit off them?
No, that was something that he says, like, anytime he sold the game, he's regretted doing it. And even for the games that he doesn't like, he still manages to keep them around just for the sake of the collection.
I used to be a really huge collector, but that changed when I realized I need money to move.
Similar.
It's like, all right, let's not keep talking about it to our podcast listeners. Let's actually listen to it to where we can stop talking about it and spoiling the whole thing. You see that all over the ground? That's the fourth wall.
My name is Derek Alexander. I'm the happy video game nerd, as well as one half of Starship Amazing and co-host of Nothing Matters. And I have been a game collector for, I guess, about 13 years since high school. But when you could go to like a Salvation Army or a Value Village and just find piles of NES games, like piles of Super Nintendo games, and boy, they were cheap at that time.
How did you maintain something like that when you were in high school?
I got into this hobby like straight up because it was cheap. And really, until the internet came around and until, like, you know, Angry Video Game Nerd and stuff like that, I thought me and my friends were the only ones who were still, like, pulling out Nintendo and Super Nintendo games. Like, we'd play Halo and stuff and Grand Theft Auto 3, and then we'd take a break and pull out some old Super Nintendo stuff. And we thought we were the only people doing it. So a lot of some of my oldest friendships are kind of built on just, hey, we all like to play video games. And we all have, like, old-school Nintendos, or remember when we played old-school Nintendo stuff.
Did you exactly know what you were doing back then? Like, did you know what to look for and, like, what prices were right back then, too?
Yeah, my parents never let me play video games on school nights. Mm. But then Friday night, it was like, all right, let's go to the Video City and you can rent a game. And, that was, you know, most of my elementary school days was going to the local Video City, which is... Rest in peace. It closed up last year. Oh, such a shame.
Rest in peace. But
for years, I would, like, every weekend, I would rent a Nintendo game. And between, like, that and Nintendo Power, and, like, my older brother was into games too, and a lot of my friends, just, you get to know what are good games. And I would just, you know, I was a dumb young kid. I would rent a game because the box looked cool, and I had a cool, you know, name or something like that. And over the years, I just got to remember, like, oh, this is a good game, this is not a good game. And I just, you know, by the time I turned to high school, I was like, yeah, I remember all this stuff, and I kind of remember which games were good.
What are some of the rarest items you own?
I do, in fact, have a complete Earthbound box and strategy guide. I have two strategy guides, and we can talk about that a little later. I own a copy of Snatcher, and both Lunar games for the Sega CD. On the Nintendo, I have all 6 Mega Mans, all 4 Dragon Warriors, all 3 Double Dragons, all 3 Ninja Gaidens. Just about every single Square game. I have all the Final Fantasy games, none of which are greatest hits. I bought a lot of them, like, day one. I also have, let's see, I bought Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask day one, so I have the collector's edition of those. And I just recently picked up Pandora's Tower for the Wii, and that, along with Xenoblade Chronicles and The Last Story, are all going to become super rare games. So if you're listening to this podcast right now in April 2013, or really in 2013, and you're into collecting, like, a Pandora's Tower just came out on Wii. That game is going to become crazy rare and expensive within a year.
Where do you do most of your shopping for video games?
Living in Anchorage, Alaska, I've always assumed that we didn't have a whole lot, and you just had to make do with what you had around you. But as I've, you know, talked to more people about game collecting, turns out like Alaska's got a lot of really good joints to get games. There's a couple of places around town of like actual collectors selling stuff, like really, really good, really rare stuff. But they charge accordingly. Like, if you want to buy a really rare game, like if you're looking for Earthbound, this dude's probably got Earthbound, but he's going to charge you like $100 for it, $150 for it. Over the years, Value Village, Salvation Army, there was a time when GameSpot and Fred Meyer and Kmart, so it was a time when Kmart was even open, but they all sold, like, they sold Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, and especially Value Village and Salvation Army, they didn't know what to charge for them. It's just all Nintendo games are $4, all Nintendo games are $3, you know, something like that. And that's how I got like Mega Man 4 and Castlevania 2 and a couple other games from my childhood that I didn't own. Mm-hmm. I was lucky to have a box of NES games, Super Nintendo games, just I think underneath the stairs or some kind of storage place, and I didn't get rid of all of them. But continuing on that collection, I do most of my shopping at places that don't know how to charge for things. I know this podcast is all about thrift stores and stuff like that, but honestly, what I do is bargain hunting. You know, I'm a bargain hunter first, collector second. And so Value Village, Salvation Army, and there's a comic book shop here in town that, I mean, just, oh man, I can tell you stories of like highway robbery, the deals I've gotten from these places. And even though now retro gaming is kind of this cool niche thing, I only ever got into it because it was cheap, and I keep it cheap. It's always like I got a huge collection, and I bought every single one of these games, damn near every single one of these games, for cheap.
Do you recommend then like smaller, less informed venues over like supporting like dedicated retro video game shops?
Like, I know it's kind of messed up, but yeah, because I feel like retro gaming is now kind of a popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to a place and you could buy that copy of Super Metroid at, you know, the mom and pop joint. They're going to charge you, you know, $50-$60 because it's worth it. Or you can take your chances at a Value Village and hopefully you'll come across a copy for like $5-$10. But I'd like to think that retro gaming is popular enough. It's not niche anymore. Mm-hmm. That those mom and pop joints probably do well enough. But yeah, it's kind of messed up. But I would say go to those places that are uninformed. Because it can be a really expensive hobby.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever found yourself in the situation of like trading in some of your games that you don't necessarily want for newer ones?
Yes, and that, yeah. I totally traded in a bunch of stuff during that time when I was too grown for this type of stuff. I traded in a bunch of old Nintendo and Super Nintendo stuff. My older brother did the same as well, and I've had to buy back a lot of games he sold. Mm-hmm. I had to rebuy Chrono Trigger. He bought that new, but he sold the game, but he kept the box. So like it worked out that I actually have a complete Chrono Trigger, mm-hmm. but I had to buy the cartridge again.
Huh. When you're going to look for new games to pick up, like what is your mindset? Like what are you looking for?
When I search for a specific system, I would like to think I know what the good games are and what they aren't. Either just like, you know, researching on the internet, and a lot of fans, you know, HVGN fans recommend me stuff that I never heard of, and I go, oh, and I'll write that down. I'll see if I'll keep my eye out for it. But a lot of the retro stuff, I kind of know what the good ones are and what the bad ones are. But a good rule of thumb is if I've never heard of it and it's cheaper than like, you know, than $5 or a gallon of gas, I'll take the chance. Mm. But typically I'm about that bargain. I'm also, it's a dumb thing, but I'm not about the greatest hits. The only greatest hits games that I own are ones that are only released as greatest hits. Like I have a copy of Virtual Fighter 4 Evolution for the PS2.
Mm.
That was only released as a greatest hits. However, the special edition of Devil May Cry 3, it was released non-greatest hits in like a box set. And I was able to find the third game by itself, non-greatest hits.
Is that a more valuable copy?
It's just, not to go off topic, but it's a special edition, which makes that game a little easier, a little more playable.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably the better version.
Okay. do you ever find yourself with that conflict of like wanting to get a game that you know is more valuable but is a better version or is not as good of a version?
Yeah, if it's cheap, totally. You got to know when to walk away and hold out for a better one.
Mm-hmm.
Or a cheaper one. Unless it's a game I really, really... I found a copy of Mega Man Legends 2 in just mint condition, but for $50, which is way more than I would normally pay for a game. But
right.
coming across that in the wild in Anchorage and not going on like eBay or Amazon, I'd never seen one in the wild. And $50 was... I was like... All right, I'm going in. I normally would buy. I would normally wait for someone to. It's like, oh hey, here's Mega Man Legends 2 for $10, you know. But that's probably not going to happen. So I bit the bullet, and went for that. But my mindset is it's got to be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the cheap. I mean, even though, like, my financial situation is way better than it was in say high school, I still look for the bargains.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself like looking for specific games that are harder to find when you go out looking for games? And do you have any recommendations for that?
If you want a specific game and you really, really want it, that's what Amazon and eBay are for. For me, if you can do thrift stores, if you can do bargain hunting, it's just the thrill of the hunt. Just hit up your spots on payday or whatever and then just see what comes in your net, see what you can find. And, you know, having played games, you know, most of my life, I'm just kind of educated. I kind of know which ones are the good ones. And also, I'm not really down with just because a game is rare. You know, I've turned down... I was offered a Bubble Bath Babes for the Nintendo.
Okay.
Which is an incredibly rare game. I told the story to Pat the NES Punk and he about crapped his pants. He was like, people went straight to me. But the guy offered me like, he's like, I got Bubble Bath Babes right now, 150. And I was like, well, that game is like, one, not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's only that price because it's rare. And even still, $150 is just not, that's not what I'm doing. But
right.
Pat the NES Punk was like, are you crazy? So I really don't care. Like, I guess I'm more of a practical collector too. If mm-hmm. Unless I see myself making a video about it or actually playing it, just because the game is rare, like, nah, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Like more on like the thrill of the hunt, I guess. Like when you're like looking through games, do you ever pick up games that you've never heard of because they're cheap? And has this ever like bared fruit in any significant way?
Yeah. I did a review for a game called Ninja Warriors, and I swear to God, I picked that game up for five, maybe $10 on the strength of like, never heard of this game. It's got ninjas in it. Sure. And then I went home and played it and I was like, oh, whoa, this game is actually like crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the best example of a real gem.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely found a handful of NES games in, you know, it's like they're $5 or $3. I never heard of it. Again, if it's cheap, I never heard of it. It's probably rare. And it might be good. If you pay for a game that's super cheap and you play it for like 5-10 minutes, even if it's bad, if I still get like 5-10 minutes of fun out of it, I feel like I got my money's worth. Mm. So like kind of low risk.
Have you ever picked up a game that you know is not good?
Again, if it's cheap, totally. I started doing a show called Is It Really That Bad? And that show actually came of the fact that I own Charlie's Angels and the Sum of All Fears for the GameCube. And I bought them totally because they were like $3 games, I think, like GameSpot. Or no, GameStop. I always get that backwards. GameStop. I bought them totally because they were super cheap. And I was like, man, you know, a case of beer, a couple of bros, and like 20 minutes, I will get my money's worth out of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, like, you know, there's a certain audience for the kind of Let's Play style videos. Is It Really That Bad? It's pretty popular with a certain percentage of my audience. So now I have a little section that I've been kind of slowly growing of really bad games that I find for really cheap. It's a cheap show to produce because finding more games to make more episodes of Is It Really That Bad is cheap. And so I do have a small section, a selection of growing PS2 and Xbox and PlayStation 1 games. Now I have, especially been seeking out really bad games, but that's because I have a YouTube show that I can produce, and that definitely justifies the cost.
What is the most you've ever paid for a game?
The most I ever paid, I bought a cart of Chrono Trigger. This would be before they even announced it for the PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that dropped the price of the cartridge. However, I think I spent $80 on that cartridge.
Wow.
And I mean, I want to say not even like 6 months later, they announced it was coming out for the PlayStation 1. And also that cart is super finicky. It's one of those carts that's kind of loose. So if you have it in the Super Nintendo, it's fine. But if anything bumps the Super Nintendo, or if the cartridge shifts at all, it just locks up. And I remember when I got it, and I opened up the game, and I put it in, and it didn't work. Like, the cartridge was dirty.
Oh, no.
Like, so, like, I was like, $80, this stupid game. It's not a stupid game. It's actually a really good game. but it took me, like, I remember thinking, like, God, it took me, like, an hour of cleaning and trying to get it to work. And I was, yeah, that was a mistake. I paid way too much for DuckTales 2. I think I bought that at my retro joint. The guy charged me, I think, $50 or $60 for it.
Oof.
Yeah. I swear to God, like, maybe a year later, a few months later, I was at the comic book shop or a thrift store, and there it was for like $5-$10.
Oh, no.
Could have just hold out. I guess the upside, though, is I made a video for the DuckTales using that DuckTales cartridge, and I would later get monetization on my YouTube. Mm. So I think since then I have earned that money back through monetization.
That's
so
good,
I guess
though.
That's evened up, but that's after those two times I was like, no man, unless it's a game like I bought Mega Man 5 for the Game Boy recently, I think I paid $50 for that or $30 for that, and then Mega Man Legends 2 recently, I think I paid $50 for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the most expensive I've ever paid for games recently. Only because they're so rare and I know they're really good.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, like, what is the cheapest you've paid for a more rare game? Like, what's like your biggest steal?
The two biggest steals. These are the top two, and this is why these come only once every couple of years, but this is what I say to people when it's like, bargain hunting is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
I got a factory sealed Mega Man 5 for $5. They were going through and getting rid of all their VHS during the DVD revolution of the of like 2000 or so, and I guess a copy of Mega Man 5 just fell behind their boxes, and I was like probably a month late to the sale because they were doing it all summer, and I kept on driving past it going, I bet there's a lot of really good like obscure dumb horror movies that I can get on VHS for cheap. I should go there, and I kept putting it off, and I was able to find factory sealed Mega Man 5. So that's like, if I ever go back to college or I need, I don't know, bail money.
How much would that sell for?
Oh God, I mean, at least 100.
Really?
Like, I mean, most factory sealed Nintendo games, regardless of what they are, like 100, but Mega Man 5 is also a pretty good game. Mm-hmm. I think there's some hardcore Mega Man fans out there that would pay a lot for it. Another steal was I went to a Value Village to their magazine section where they sometimes have strategy guides, and they had a grip of strategy guides, and they were charging the magazine prices, and among those strategy guides was an Earthbound strategy guide.
Mm.
So I got an Earthbound strategy guide for $1.50.
$1.50.
It was something like that. I mean, less than $2. I don't remember what it was because I bought so many. She was like, well, you're buying like 20 magazines here, I'll give you a discount. And I mean, that's insane. I mean, the condition was average, but yo, I ain't
for
turning
less
down.
Less than $2. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a deal.
It's crazy.
And also back, you know, when I bought Earthbound, the Earthbound cartridge back in 99, I think I paid about $50 for it, which is actually a pretty good price now. And I would say another two other really good noteworthy purchases were, again, I went to this comic book shop where they don't know how to price anything. The Spider-Man Web of Fire game for the 32X.
Mm-hmm.
The game is apparently not very good,
but
I think it is the rarest, if not one of the rarest games for the 32X. And I got it complete with a box and instructions for $5. They just saw 32X and went, oh, this is a crap game.
Yeah.
Slapped $5 on it. And I walked in, like, I bought it. And I was this close to being like, can I have my receipt? Are we done? Okay, I just ripped you off. You have no idea. Like, you need to call the cops right now because I highway robbery stole from you. I didn't do that though. And those, like, I got the Lunar Sega CD games and Snatcher back in the mid 90s. I think I must have paid like $20-$30 for them. That's another topic I can touch on a little later, is like knowing when systems are going out, when certain stores have a certain system in their inventory and they want to just get them out of their inventory and they'll charge crazy good prices for them. That's kind of how I got a lot of good Sega CD and Dreamcast. And recently I've been cleaning up on N64 games. Like I said, I started buying a lot of Dreamcast games in like 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was like 2001, 2002 when the Dreamcast was officially dead. and you'd go to stores and they'd have like their dying, dwindling Dreamcast collection, the Dreamcast section, and they're charging insane prices for some of these games because they just want to get them out. And right now I'm finding N64 games. I mean, they're super cheap. You know, people know the Mario, they know Rareware stuff, but like, you know, I got Chameleon Twist 1 for, I think, like $10. You know, there's some deals out there. Right now, PS1 and PS2, especially if there's a play-in trade in Anchor right now, and they are just up to their eyeballs in PlayStation 2 games. They got to get rid of them. And the super, super rare games, they'll probably put aside, like Persona and those type of games, they'll put aside. But heck, you can probably get all the Jak and Daxter games, any kind of Guitar Hero, you know, Devil May Cry, Grand Theft Auto, God of War. You can probably find these games for incredibly cheap. Look for the deals.
All right, man. Well, I think that's all I got. Do you have any last words?
You know what? Yeah, I got one last thing. It's not cheap. I do this hobby because it is cheap, but there are times when it is prudent to put down some money. And like I have, you know, the Zelda games for the N64. I have the mint brand new, the special editions, because I bought them day one, because I knew that these are going to be crazy expensive. Metroid Prime Trilogy had a really, really limited run. So I snatched that up as soon as I heard that. You know, again, Last Story, Xenoblade Chronicles, and Pandora's Tower for the Wii right now. I bought those all brand new for $50, which is more than I would normally pay for a game, because I know those games are never going to be cheap unless you get lucky, and you probably won't get lucky. So look for systems that are going out, shop at places that don't know what they're charging, and just keep your ear to the ground. Know when hot new games are going to come out that are going to become rare, and buy them day one, because some games never get cheap unless you get really lucky.
That's awesome, man. Thanks a lot for talking to me, Derek.
Anytime, man. Thank you.
All right. Well, turns out the place that we were looking for doesn't exist here anymore. So we're gonna have that, but it exists, it's just moved.
Yes.
So we're gonna try and track it down. Apparently it's a really big place.
Is it?
Or that's what the lady was saying. Like, she was trying to think of any other big places besides that one.
Well, I'm happy to know that the Value Village was the first place she mentioned after I said that we were looking for video games.
Oh, okay, yeah, so that's very promising.
Yeah. It's two different sources. This website I looked up, as well as somebody who, one of the competitors, I guess.
But when at the very least we managed to come on this one of the more interesting streets in Tucson.
Yes.
Definitely a happening place.
We've only been here once for Proto Man show.
Yeah.
But everything was pretty much closed.
Or it was mostly, there was a lot of construction going on at that time.
Yeah, I couldn't see too much.
Oh, keeping on this journey. We don't have a whole lot of time left because we left really late in the day. And for whatever reason, thrift stores like to close fairly early. Especially on the weekends. Well, we found the place that we were looking for. And what did you find, Jeff?
I found a Nintendo 64 for $13, or more specifically, $12.99. The tag says Nintendo Game Console, $12.99, not tested, as is. However, I have 48 hours to return it if I'm not satisfied. Then I also picked up a CD-ROM that Heidi found, and I immediately recognized it from my childhood. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego CD-ROM? Special bundle version, not for resale.
You think that's actually going to be able to play on anything that you own?
Not that I own, but potentially what you own, because it's PC.
I don't know, like, depending on how old it is, it might not even run on modern...
How about Laura's?
It's possible.
Laura has an old computer. But those are two good deals. Overall, I came out having spent $14.
Very good.
$14 for a Nintendo 64, which has a jumper pack in it. I think that's just the normal thing it comes with, not the expansion pack.
Yeah, I think so.
In fact, it's never been removed. So this is actually, I don't know. The system itself looks like it's actually in pretty good condition.
Yeah, it looks like it's it's been sealed up for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it might have just been cleaned before it was put in there, but I don't know. It looks
pretty nice.
It doesn't look aged.
Yeah.
It's got a few little scratches here and there.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it works, but we'll find out when we get home.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's not gold. It's not games.
Hey.
But it's something.
I think it's great. I didn't expect to get a console today. I already own an N64, but having an extra one's always nice. Maybe our podcast listeners will get it.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll end up having three in the house, which might be excessive.
Yeah. Unless we want to do System Link.
Whatever that is.
It's when you connect two Xboxes together with a strip of bacon.
Oh.
So, we went thrifting. And that's what you guys have been hearing. We went thrifting about a week ago, I think it was, you know. And how many different shops did we go to? I think we went to about three or four.
We had a plan to go to five, and we only managed to get to really three of them, and one of them wasn't even on the plan.
Yeah.
Because there was this one, I think it was a Mormon thrift store that we decided not to go to because you said that you didn't think that there was going to be much there. Actually, I looked it up, and that's usually the best places to go to because people don't go there expecting video games. But that doesn't mean they're not going to have them.
Charlie.
And they don't know anything about them. No, there was this...
So we went to three or four different
thrift
shops.
Three.
One of the last stores we went to, we found the N64 for mm-hmm. $13.
We didn't know if we were going to see anything better, not in Tucson.
And I still haven't tested that. I should probably go do that when I get
Yeah, it's. Well, I mean, the return policy is up now.
Yeah, it's
so,
done.
Yeah, so you, if it doesn't work, you done sunk $13.
Yeah, but I have high hopes. But just this last weekend, Charlie and I, kind of impromptu, decided to go check out Metronome Music. They're like a instrument repair shop, as well as a record shop and sales floor thing. But they had a whole selection of games and a surprising amount. So it was there that I was looking around, and I found three copies of Mario Paint, each for $2.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got three copies of Mario Paint for $6. And then for $8, I picked up a box full of Atari 500 games, one of which included Pole Positions, Ben's favorite game.
You're going to play Pole Position! It'll bust your crack and leave skid marks on your soul.
And then I went ahead and did probably what I shouldn't have done, and I bought Pac-Man 2 The New Adventures.
Oh, good.
For $4.
I'm so proud of you.
So in the end, I paid about $20, $22 for a box full of games.
And, you know, it is interesting because whenever he got up there and they rang it all up, it came out to, like, $48.
Yes.
And Jeff stood his ground. He said that they found all those Atari games in a box for, like, 50 cents each.
Yep.
And the guy said, oh, man.
It's less than we paid for them.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. Like, this is an aspect of thrifting that I don't think people who don't go thrifting probably don't get this feeling, but when you go into a shop and you see nothing but good deals and you have enough money to just kind of splurge on it, like I did that day, I feel like I wiped them out of the good deals that anybody could have walked in there and had.
Man,
I took all the fun.
Yeah, but it seemed like a really cool store, and it's one I want to keep going back to. And luckily, I think they have enough business otherwise to where the fact that you wiped them out doesn't mean that they're going to be wiped out, because they're obviously not, like, outside of the place. They don't advertise their video game stuff too much other than on the sign that says video games is one of the things that they have.
Right.
Inside, though, they have just this wonderful selection with all these really cool advertising stuff that from...
The 90s.
Yeah. Like, big Nintendo signs and a blow-up Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And all kinds of really cool stuff that...
That's not for sale, but it's a great display.
Yeah,
because
Jeff asked to see if they were for sale because he wanted them.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be pretty cool. But no.
But yeah, like, this was a good store, mostly because I think they're in the business of moving this merchandise as fast as possible. So everything's really well priced.
Yeah, obviously that's why they had Atari games for 50 cents. That's why I picked up Pole Position for 50 cents. Now I just got to get an Atari.
I was going to ask, did you have one?
You know, I used to have an Atari 500 new in the box that my dad bought. No, he got it at the flea market, but it was factory sealed still. And when we were moving, I don't know why. This is not too long. This is like, you know, 2-3 years ago. We were getting ready to move, and we just decided, let's just get rid of this. No, what? Nobody wants this. I don't know why.
What?
I don't know why.
So you just threw it in the trash?
No, we sold it at a flea market for like 30 bucks, which is way cheap. But,
you know, I'm sorry, but all y'all dumb.
But hey, maybe that's good karma, right? Like,
no.
When it comes to thrifting, maybe you just want to kind of, you know, give back to that pool of give somebody else a good deal for a change instead of just being the greedy one who takes everything.
Everything's wrong about what you're saying right now. I hate everything you're saying right now.
Ben is big on the Machiavellian ideals.
Well, what is the worst deal you guys have ever gotten thrifting? I've already told you guys mine.
Oh, well, there was that time whenever I finally did get Vagrant Story. So I was still looking for this stupid game, and I was working at GameStop, and sometimes people come by with games that they want to sell, but at some point we stopped. Like, GameStop takes your old games, but if it's too old, then they don't take them anymore. And this one guy had some PlayStation 1 games that he wanted to sell, and he was just asking if we were able to sell them. This is a guy that had been coming to the shop for a while. His name was Harley, and he was a druid.
He's the druid, yeah.
Yeah. He is a guy who would walk around this mall in, like, green cloth and leather, and he would get his money out of a belt pouch, and sometimes he'd have a walking stick, and he also smelled like cat pee.
The walking stick, was it made out of driftwood?
I think so. Okay. And it might have been polished. It's been a while since I've seen Harley.
Polished driftwood.
He was a really fascinating character, and nobody else liked to talk to him because he smelled like cat pee. So I asked him if he had Vagrant Story, and he said, yeah, all right, I do have it. And I said, all right, how much would you can I buy it from you for? And he's like, 20 bucks. I was like, all right, whatever. This is, like, you can tell that if I did go thrifting, I would not come out ahead because I just accept the first price every time.
You're just a chump.
And so eventually he came by, and it was just the disc, and you can get, so I gave a druid 20 bucks for his copy of Vagrant Story, and the Vagrant Story works at least, so there's that, but.
He just handed you a disc?
No, it was in a sleeve.
Oh.
And it's actually two discs. And,
10 bucks each.
You know.
Well, you can actually get the full copy of the game on eBay with, like, the case and the instruction manual and everything for 15 bucks max.
Boom.
So, really, I did not come ahead on this, but you know what?
The $5 was worth it to do that with a druid.
Yeah, I got it from a druid. I'm supporting the druid lifestyle.
Yeah, that's right.
And to be honest, Harley needs friends, or I don't think he feels that way necessarily, but I think it's nice to be a friend to a druid.
Good for him. Yay, Charlie. Yay, Harley. Anybody else got a sad story? That wasn't a worst thrifting story, Charlie, but that was a very nice one.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of thrifting stories, so yeah, and they're all Vagrant Story related.
For me, if I see something that's not a good deal, I just don't go for it. But I guess the worst was the most few months ago when I spent $20 on Yoshi's Story.
Which we still got to get signed for our buddy who sent in that email.
Yep. When I would go to the flea market in San Jose, there was this canopy that had nothing but games underneath it. And this lady, who obviously was not a gamer, she would sit there and she had like a big hat on, and she had a little fan that she'd hold up to herself, and she just, you know, it was her business. I assumed it was her family's business, because I'd occasionally see other members of their family there. But I would always ask how much the Super Nintendo cartridges were, and I'd hold up, you know, one, and they'd say, it's different for each one. I'd say, okay. So I would try to find, you know, some really cool games there, and I'd find, like, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, or form email. You know, interesting games, and they would always ask way too much for them. Like Super Ghouls and Ghosts, I'd ask how much it was, and they'd say $15.
The thing with those is that when you're going to flea markets specifically, you have to look out for people who are reselling games that they went around and bought from other vendors earlier in the day.
That's true.
And that sounds like that's what that person was.
Well, then it got a little bit weird because I tried to find the worst games I could find, right? And then I'd hold those up and say, how much are these? And then they'd always say $10. Like, every Super Nintendo cartridge was $10, even if it was something as, you know, basic
like
as...
NHL 98.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would find, like, the bad sports games that nobody wants. And, yeah, they were all $10. It was very... to me, that was a very dissatisfying experience.
I watch one of my favorite segments of Pat the NES Punk was when he goes to flea markets. And he always says, if the games are priced individually, skip it. You're not going to get any deal there.
Well, the thing with that, too, is that sometimes there are, like, a few games, like, particularly, like, NES titles, like Little Samson or something, that are, like, so ridiculously rare that they go for, like, hundreds of dollars. And even with those resellers, they will, like, sometimes not know about those games. And if you have to pay $15 for a game that you could sell again for, like, $200 or $150, it's probably, like, worth it at least to take a look to see if anything slipped through. But for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, like, that particular canopy that had games underneath it, that's where you'd find potentially a deal like that if they had that. There was a lot of different dealers at the flea market that I go to. There's this one guy in particular who always had at least one copy of Earthbound that he had priced at $125.
Well,
and it always just made me walk by and shake my head like, whatever, man.
Was it complete?
No, it was just the cartridge.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Convenience fee, druid fee. The guy had a big beard. Wizard fee.
Wizard fee.
It's even better than druid fee.
Yeah. So I got one last question about thrift games. Part of the fun is trying to find the rare ones. What games are out now or have come out recently that you guys think will be treasures of tomorrow?
I've got one that Mado translated One Piece Unlimited Adventure for the Wii, like in a weekend, and it had to be done really quickly. So when that game came out, we bought it, and we played a few hours of it, but like always, we didn't get much treasure in it. Then when we were doing our whole moving and selling thing, like, we put it up for auction, and we spent $50 new, and we put it at, like, 99 cents, it jumped, and it sold for $102.
Whoa.
Like, holy cow. So if you guys still have One Piece Unlimited Adventure, hang on to that.
I think it's usually the ones that either come with something real special, like, what was that game recently that came out with a, I think it was an art book.
Talk about Ni No Kuni?
No. Oh, yeah, that too. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that...
Don't get me started on that one.
I think that might be the one I was thinking about, though. Where, I don't think it was an art book. I think it was just, like, a wizard
manual. It was, like, a magic book.
Yeah.
Stuff in it. I don't know.
I think stuff like that, beyond the game itself, is going to really increase the value of these things over time. Because since so many things are disc-based, discs are really easy to replicate. So... they make so many of them that the value just drops with each one that they make. So it's not going to retain any value. Not, at least not as well as a lot of those old cartridges that they only made a few of in the first place.
Yeah. As a counterpoint, you still can't find the Misadventures of Tron Bond for less than $120. Mm-hmm. So,
right. So some of them, they just really didn't make that many of them. And
low print runs.
Yeah. Like, I still like to get my hands on a copy of Suikoden 2. But... I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, my collecting days have come and gone, but I'm still looking for that Misadventures of Tron Bond, man.
I'll keep an eye out.
I had it, and then I sold it because I was stupid and no better.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, though. Like, games aren't necessarily going to become a treasure because of their content, but because of what they come with, you think?
Well, I think to some degree it's always going to be hand in hand. Because it's, to some degree, there are ones that are expensive just because they're rare. But there are other ones that are really good. And
usually the ones that are really good are the ones that get reprints and people keep making them and selling them, so they do flood the market and they do drop in value. But for whatever reason, there are some that are really good that
fall under the radar.
Yeah, they fell under the radar. They didn't make a whole bunch of them. And so they're out there and people really want them. And I think the fact that they're good increases the value beyond the fact that they're just rare.
Yeah. Those are the ones I prefer to hunt down.
Yeah. Like, that's why I want to find Suikoden too, and that's why I wanted to find Vagrant Story, and
that's exactly why I want to find Revolution X.
What's that?
That is a shooter game compatible with the Super Nintendo mouse pad, and it's about you as the player trying to topple a corrupt government that is the New World Order type of thing, and they are trying to kidnap Aerosmith.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
we need to find this game.
Thank you for listening to the Fangamer Podcast, everybody. That's the best we're going to get. That's it. We did it.
I heard about that last night, and I thought, I have to find this game. But I think we got a voicemail.
We do have a voicemail. We have one voicemail from Miss Lindsay Nelson.
Hi, everybody. This is Chewy. My story involves rummage sales, tragedy, and redemption. My prized possession has always been my mint condition SNES console and collection of about 20 games. When I left for college, I kept most of my belongings in my bedroom back home. Well, one spring, my family's church was having a rummage sale and was accepting donations. My dad made the inexplicable decision of going through my room and picking out not only my Super Nintendo, but all of its controllers and game cartridges. Every last one. Well, cut to summer vacation, and I come home to find the horrifying, gaping hole in my closet. It was the only thing he'd taken. Needless to say, I rubbed my dad's face on a few eBay pages to show him the extensive damage he'd caused. But here's the twist. 6 months before my devastating loss, I had an inkling. I didn't know what it was, but I got the feeling that something bad was going to happen. So I went through my box of Super Nintendo games, and I pulled out my copy of Earthbound and hid it in the deepest part of my closet, away from the rest of my collection. And that is how I lost all of my video games, except for a single cartridge of Earthbound without a console to play it on. I thought that story might add to the cultish reputation behind Earthbound, too.
Dang.
That's pretty sad.
That's rough. I have a similar story, except no one got paid for anything. We had this cabinet full of like old videotapes and all of my Super Nintendo games that I was out the door one day going to my friend's house to sleep over, and my dad, just like as I was out the door with my bags and stuff, said, "Hey, you better get everything out of that cabinet or else I'm just gonna throw the whole thing away." And like I ran over there really quick and saw my Super Nintendo games there. And like I told him not to do it because my games were in there, and he was like, "Okay." But I came home, they were all gone, including all my Super Nintendo games. And to this day, my dad insists that he did not throw them away. He insists he put them somewhere, but it's not true. So, somewhere in a garbage dump far, far away lies my copy of Earthbound. My original copy of Earthbound, Super Mario RPG, and Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally.
I'm so mad at your dad right now.
Your dad put them away.
He brought them outside, out back.
Rest in peace.
Put them down.
Rest in peace. Well, I think we got some Fangamer news, I hope.
Well, we are taking over the Double Fine Action Shop.
Right.
We got all of their stuff in the warehouse now, and soon enough, whenever people who buy things from them start receiving things, you're going to be receiving them from us. So we just got to get on Ryan to finish getting all that stuff set up to where we can actually start shipping stuff.
Fangamer's my favorite fulfillment company.
Yeah. And we're also doing FTL merch.
Yeah.
FTL. And yeah, Venus Patrol launched. And what else? Reed turned 30.
Reed turned 30, and get this, all his hair was white.
Yeah, it just happened.
Instantly.
And fell out.
Yeah, that, oh.
Well, that happened while we were watching The Wizard.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with age.
He became The Wizard.
I asked him, or I think somebody asked him if he felt old yet, and he said, you know what? I do feel old right now, but it has nothing to do with my age so much as just the fact that he has a kid now.
Yeah.
Reed is Reed. A kid with a beard.
Got a baby raising
has a
baby.
Beard.
Well, speaking of The Wizard, our next episode is going to be first game movie club of the year, which is going to be for The Wizard.
Hey!
So if you haven't seen The Wizard, go watch it. If you have seen The Wizard,
watch
it again. Yes.
And then send us a voicemail.
And then I'll just shout. Send us a voicemail with all of your favorite quotes. Just shout them into the microphone or your phone or whatever you did. And we love to hear them.
Can I preempt like the most obvious one?
You can. I think he touched my breast, because I think that's the most obvious.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, but I was just gonna be like, California.
Oh, that's not even the one I was thinking of, but
California.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. You should watch it. It's gonna be a fun podcast. We're gonna Mustin on.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be a good time.
Mustin, he's gonna be there. He's always fun to
talk to.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good times.
Yeah. I think
a
week after that we got a little special thing.
Gosh, we got to do our Star Wars game club, I think, right?
Yep. I think that is.
Did we decide on a game yet?
Let's go. Let's double check the polls right now.
Yeah, I'll double check it right now. But I figure we'll announce this next week, even though it's technically already over.
On the real poll, we have Knights of the Old Republic in the lead with 14 votes.
However,
the real poll. What are you talking about?
And second place in that poll with 11 votes, Shadows of the Empire. However, we have the side poll, the Star Wars Episode One Racer at 15 votes, taking out Knights of the Old Republic by one vote, with 11 votes for Charlie is Okay.
And I'm the only one who voted for Star Wars Connect.
I mean, we do have to mourn the loss of LucasArts. By playing their unfortunately last game. What a weird last game.
Is that their last one?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was it for them.
Well, it's a new era for Star Wars.
I'm afraid it's going to be the Podracer podcast.
But we will officially announce what we're doing next week, correct?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So next week is going to be Game Movie Club for The Wizard. Any closing thoughts, you guys? Thrifting for games?
I spent, like, way too much time before this podcast watching the entirety of the web series The Game Chasers, and it's really good. It teaches you some dope tips. They're funny dudes. Unfortunately, they have guests on that are a little bit sexist and inappropriate in nature at times, and that makes it a little hard to recommend. So just maybe don't watch the first season, the first few episodes of the first season. But regardless, it's very... very informational. They teach you the tricks, and it's a good watch. It's quality production.
My last note is that we are still accepting applications for podcast contributors. So if you'd like to send in your application to be a part of this podcast as a story chaser, basically, and get paid for your work, check out the topic in the forum and drop us a line.
This was fun, you guys. I would like to do another thrifting episode sometime down the line.
Yeah, maybe once we're all together again, we can go on a Tucson journey.
Or
yeah.
maybe in San Jose. Maybe we could all, during Fanime, if you're around, Ben, then we can all go hit up the flea market or something one morning. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This episode featured music from Gorillaz, Tom Waits, and Starship Amazing. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.